Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10 will be our text. You may want to put a bulletin or a bookmark or something in Romans chapter 7, because I'll be going to there in a little while in Romans 7. But for right now, our text is 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. As we continue going through this book of the Bible, we've hit it for a Sunday or two, go away and maybe come back to it again. But 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 is our text. And Brother Nathan's in-laws are here. Christy's parents, they're here. And so that's why Nathan kind of straightened up this weekend. And I wonder why I wasn't hearing any of those mother-in-law jokes anymore. Now I know. Okay, that was why. His mother-in-law almost got hit in the parking lot last time she was here. And his car stalled. Okay, well, now you'll have it when you get home, okay? You'll have it. Got you in trouble. All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now shall we pray. Father, help us to rightly divide your word this morning. And again we'd pray that if there's one in this auditorium that does not know that if they died today that heaven's their home, I pray that today be the very day they come to Christ. Lord, I pray that as Christians, we would learn how to walk in the Spirit, walking in Christ, walking as we ought to walk in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Persecution of Christians is taking place throughout the world. The 20th century was a century of Christian martyrdom, as there were 5 million Christians martyred in the 20th century. Since 1990, an average of 160,000 Christians are killed each year. With the Middle East wars of late, that number has greatly increased. The group called ISIS rejoices that they have killed many Christians. They rejoice because they behead boys and girls, little children, and impale their heads after they cut them off on poles. They also crucify those that claim to be Christians on crosses and make them die horrible, painful deaths. And yet, it seems that for the most part, in referring to these statistics, most of us say, well, I didn't know that. And the media seems to be silent on those things, unless it's one of theirs. Now, as soon as it's one of their guys that gets beheaded, as just happened recently, then the media's all over that. But not all these other people. So the media is silent. You know when they get upset? It's when we preach what the Bible has to say about homosexuality, about men and women moving in and living together without marriage. When we talk about the abomination of pre and extramarital sex, and by saying that God can cleanse and forgive all those people of those terrible, sinful things, and He can change them and make them vessels for God's glory. God can do that. We think that maybe the killing of children, the beheading of them, and the killing of Christians isn't news. But boy, when we preach on those things, that sure is. They don't like it. They don't want to hear it. Don't be surprised if the war hits America soon. Don't be surprised if you hear more happening in those areas. It may do two things. It may wake up a country, but it may more so separate the sheep from the goats. and show who truly are Christians, who will stand. Sometimes God allows it so that we can see those things. Now, there is basically, when we look at all these things, a problem going on. Our text speaks of two fathers. And you are a child of one father or the other. We have DNA tests. DNA tests sometimes will show, well, this person belongs to this person belongs to that. So I was talking to Jay Ross, who was here recently with us. He said they actually now have the DNA to be able to tell which Jewish tribe they belong to. And I thought, boy, that's amazing. That's wonderful. But the test will show which a person is, because you can fool people, make them think that you're one thing, and when you're really another. For example, there are gay parades. People dress up as the opposite sex because they've rebelled against what God made them. Yet God can save. It's not to hate those people. Understand, we don't hate those people. God can save them, change them, and make them what He originally created them to be. See, God can do that. And He will, if we as Christians will allow the power of God to work through us to be a witness to them, share the gospel, give them the gospel, teach them the gospel, preach to them the gospel, that they might be saved. And they'll be converted. They'll be changed. For if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. You see, they don't continue in that life. They're changed from it. And the Bible teaches that very clearly. So there's a war going on between these two fathers. They battle for you. But the difference between human fathers and these fathers, that you have a choice. You have a choice. Now we look at first in verse 9 at God the Father. We see in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, this, don't go to sleep on me on this, because I'm not going to stay here this part long. Sometimes you get into something like this and say, oh, no. But the words is born. Look at there is what they call perfect passive tense in the Greek meaning. It's an action that was completed in the past, but it has a continuing result. But in that it's passive, it shows that it wasn't the individual that it's happening to that made it come about. Rather, someone did it for them. You see, God the Father provided the way of salvation. You've heard people say, I found the Lord. No, the Lord was searching you for you before you ever found Him. Okay? And so it's not that you found the Lord, He found you. If you are saved, you have nothing to do with your spiritual conception. Now, I'm not speaking of Calvinism that says some of you are already ordained to go to hell and some are ordained to go to heaven. That's not the way it is. And that is a false doctrine. And it started with Jews, actually, in the Old Testament. Augustine in the Catholic Church, and even then Presbyterians and others with John Calvin. It's called Calvinism, but hey, it's long before he ever arrived on the scene. He just picked it up and got the name for it. But it's the same thing. The Bible fights against it. And by the way, let me just say this, not really part of the message. You believe that Jesus will save whosoever will by the Bible. To believe in Calvinism, you've got to read somebody else's book besides the Bible. Stay with the right book. Just stay with the right book. And you won't have to worry about, am I elected to go to heaven? Maybe I'm elected to go to hell. You won't have to worry about that at all. Just read the Bible, and the Bible will show you God wants you to be saved, because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's desire. He wants to save people from their sin. So, ours is simply to receive the seed of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, because corruptible seed is of the devil, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But understand again, you are not saved until you first hear the gospel in order to be saved. The difference between your first birth, that is your physical birth, and the new birth, is that you choose your father in this birth. But it's an action because He first loved us. When you are born physically, you're born with a spiritual father who is the devil. See, the word death means separation. So when you're born separated from God. Just like when the physical body dies, the spirit and soul within you separates. And either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. Well, when you are born into this life, you are born physically with Satan as your spiritual father already. However, upon hearing the gospel, you have a choice to continue with the spiritual father, Satan, or have a new spiritual father, the Lord God. And He's a great father. He is a great father. Now, He says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, doth not commit sin has been interpreted by many good men to mean, well, he just doesn't commit sin habitually. And they have good reason for saying that. It's because the Greek structure of it has the idea of continual sin. But I think they're missing something. For example, we believe when 1 Corinthians tells us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. If we defile the temple, that's sin. We can talk about fornication. We can talk about drunkenness. We can talk about smoking, tobacco, drugs, other things that destroy the temple. We can talk about gluttony. The Bible likens gluttony and alcohol to the same. So all those are things. And people have those sins continually. Now you think about it. They have those sins continually. There are other things that we can think about. The lustful thought. Every day there are some people that just live with a lustful thought. They check pornography on the internet and what have you, and they live that way day after day. There's other people that have the problem of gossip. And day after, and a lot of times you'll say, oh Lord, forgive me. And yet the same thing will happen right again. It'll happen again. The Bible speaks of the slothful man and the lazy person. The Bible speaks of not being faithful to church. He says not forsaking, which has the idea there, not there, there, not there, there, not there. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is. And that's a command. When you don't obey a command of the Lord, what is it? Sin. Okay. Now, some people do that regularly. So, let me ask you. We've named a list of sins that are sins that people commit regularly. So if a person doesn't sin habitually if they're saved, does that mean that none of those people are saved? Because that's what you have to say if you say it means they don't sin habitually. Because all of us have habitual sins. All of us have habitual sins. We all are fighting the same thing, it seems like, over and over in our life. My thing may be different than yours. Yours may be different than mine. But we are always fighting sin. It's too easy to jump on something without considering all that's involved. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, what is it? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His truth is not in us. That's pretty clear. It's very clear. And so we need to understand that maybe this is meaning something else. Let's consider when a man is born again. He receives a new nature. He receives a new life. The Bible calls him a new creature. In other words, a new creation. He received it from God. But within this body of mine, within this being of mine, I still have that old nature. The moment I get saved, the old nature doesn't leave. The old nature is still there. Now the difference is I have a new nature. And the old nature and the new nature, they battle one against the other. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says it this way. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Now, what this is showing is that there indeed is a war that's going on against each other, one nature against the other nature. Both seeds remain in us for this life on earth. Have you ever heard a man say, as I have, I'm not going to get saved because I just don't think I could live it. I've tried. I just don't think I could live it. I've done so much wrong. How could anybody forgive me? Well, you know what? They're right in this sense. They cannot live it. They cannot live it. And they can't get rid of their sin. But the other idea is this. I can't get rid of my sin either. You see, that's why I needed the Savior, and that's why everyone needs a Savior. We go to the one that can take away our sin. He can take away the penalty of sin right now. He can take away the power of sin over you right now. And when we get to heaven, He'll take away the presence of sin. Boy, that's a great blessing in Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to think on these verses because they're for God's people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 36, praying for the people of Israel, Solomon is praying. He's talking about God's people, and he says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. He's talking about saved people. How about in Psalms 19:12, David, a saved man. Romans chapter 4 tells us that he was. And in verse 12, he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I have sins which I have done which I may not know about. I don't even know their sin. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I have not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. So he says, I didn't even know I was sinning until I read this in the law. Yes, we sin without knowing it due to a lack of knowledge of the glory and of the holiness of God. And in the book of Galatians, we read that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That is, they fight one another, and it's so bad that you cannot do the things that you would. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you realize the principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places? Those are all legions of devils. Those devils, a lot of times, will work through people, but nonetheless, they're the enemies that we fight. We wrestle against them. The Apostle Paul. Many have said the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian in the 20th century. I mean, since the early church to this 20th century, 21st century now. He was the greatest Christian. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll find out, okay? We'll find out that nobody is what they're supposed to be except through Jesus Christ. But obviously, his testimony was tremendous. So now look at Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. And then verses 24 and 25, because I'm going to share something here with you or give you something that I think that will help you. In Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, let me just stop there for a moment. In verse 9 of our text, I'm going to come back here, but let me just read verse 9 of our text. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. But here's the Apostle Paul saying, the good things I would do, I don't end up doing them. And the bad things I wouldn't do, I end up doing them. So it's the Apostle Paul unsaved. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You see, we have that new seed, that new nature within us that does not sin. But there's still an old nature in us that does. And what dominates in our life is the one that we walk in. You walk in the old nature, that's going to dominate. You walk in the new nature, that's going to dominate. You have to make a decision. Our nature, our old nature sins. Our new nature does not. We read earlier in the same book, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we're told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why does he say that? Because that's the old nature. It loves the world system. It loves the world way. If you walk in that way, then, my friend, you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, not the lust of the Spirit. And that is the desires of the Spirit. Now, verses 24 and 25 of Romans 7 says this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Because we have this new nature, we must evidently quench the Holy Spirit of His conviction if we're going to walk in the old nature. For he will, the new spirit, the new nature, the Holy Spirit of God, will in that Christian convict him when he's walking in a fleshly manner. Things that used to not bother him will bother him now because he has the Spirit of God within him. We quench, harden ourselves against the Spirit of God, against conviction, we'll end up chastened and scourged of God. Which Hebrews 12 says, if we're not, then we never really were one of His. You ever thought about it this way? The world gets mad when you take a stand against things such as homosexuality, abortion, and other like filthy sin. Okay? They get upset with you. I mean, they're mad. Why is that? I mean, they have college educations, they've got PhDs and everything else. So why do they get upset? Because they don't have a new nature. If you don't have the new nature, you don't have the capacity to understand the things of God. Now, they may have religion. A lot of people have religion, but they don't have the new nature. If you don't have the new nature, then you don't have the ability to understand God. Therefore, verse 10, the one that's still your father is the devil. He's still your father. So we find his seed, verse 9, remaineth in him. Literally, you know what that means? It means he does not miscarry. When you're born again of God, God does not miscarry. That new nature's there, and he's there with you forever. And that new nature will never sin because it's born of God. Seed is from the Greek word sperma. It's speaking of the new life. That new life does not sin. The new nature. If we walk in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh. According to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, as a Christian, sin can easily beset you. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now think about that. The sin. The sin is specific. Christians have specific sins in their lives that seem to come back and hit him time after time after time. Sometimes a guy will have a temper. He'll go several days and not lose it. And then all of a sudden, boom, the wrong thing, and he's lost his temper again. He calls on God to forgive him and all that. A few days later, same thing again. And so here's a guy that has that one sin that so easily besets him. And he says, look, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that did it, but there's a specific sin. And so you walk in the Spirit, you'll have victory over that sin. You walk according to the things of God. Again, there's no man that sinneth not. Walk in the Spirit and walk in that new nature that God has given you. Lay aside the weight that so easily takes you away from God. Sometimes the weight is not what we'd call evil or sin, but it's something that you'll do in place of the service of God. There's a personal responsibility to lay aside, and there's a very personal responsibility to run with patience the race that is before us. There's the goal of winning the crown. We've got to get our eyes off present circumstances and people and realize we've got to walk with God. We don't have to walk according to people's reaction. We have to walk according to God's reaction. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He said, let us, you're saved, cleanse yourself from those things of the flesh and the spirit, that filthiness. There's a personal responsibility. See, we do not need psychological counseling. We don't need to have the various philosophies come at us to handle our besetting sin. Instead, we just turn to Jesus. We get in His Word, not just to read it and go, but to read it and think on it, to carry it with us. Sometimes you should read the Bible with the idea, I'm going to tell somebody about this passage I've read today, and I want to share with them what it means, or what at least it means to me. And you get that in your mind, and then you fast, you pray, you call on Him throughout the day. You attack the devil by meditating on the Word of God, to know God, to grow in the knowledge of God, and to know Him and to obey Him. Let me kind of bring this thing to a close by just saying a couple things. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. John 8:44, Jesus told a group of religious people. He told them, you're of your father the devil, and the lust, that is the desires of your father, you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. The children of the devil can imitate to a point, but they don't have the new nature. As you walk in the light of God's Word, you begin to learn the difference. You're born into this life already a child of the devil. No matter who it is, every person born into this life is born a child of the devil. The only one that never was, after the fall of Adam, was Jesus Christ, because He was virgin born. But all of us are born with Satan as our spiritual father. But God has provided you a choice to come to Him. There's no middle ground. Unsaved people in the Bible are called children of disobedience. They're also called children of wrath. They're also called children of the wicked one. And Jesus said, in essence, that if you're not His, Satan is your father. There are not many roads to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. But understand, when you come to Jesus Christ, you're coming for Him to cleanse you from your sin. You say, boy, I can't do anything, but Christ can. So you come to Him. You're willing for Him to be the Lord and God. You're willing to place yourself completely in Him. Lord, I'm giving You my life. Cleanse me. Change me. It's not Jesus plus, Jesus and. You trust in Christ alone for the eternal destiny of your soul. But in doing so, you're giving Him your life. So I ask, who is your Father? You have the Bible reason that you know that you'd go to heaven today if you were to die. Are you willing to place everything on Christ alone? As the song says, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. He will save you. Why? Because He said, Him that come to me, out of no wise cast out. You've got that sin on you that you thought could not be forgiven? Oh, yes. You're still breathing. He'll forgive you. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, as we get ready to sing, only trust Him here in just a moment. I pray, Father, that these that have raised their hands and say, I'm not sure I'm saved, I pray that they might walk this aisle and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. For that Christian that has gotten away from you, I pray that today be the very day they come back and just say, you know what, I've been walking in the flesh, I want to walk in the Spirit. Whatever the spiritual need is, I pray it be met in this invitation in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.